Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Read this morning's scripture. Comes from Romans chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Well, as many of you may know, we're coming upon a time in our land, our state, where it's an opportunity to vote. And that'll be November 7th. And I thought I would spend a day just thinking about government, Christian responsibility, things like that. And so I've written a sermon, What Should a Christian Want from Government? And there's a lot of things we could want from government, but I think the Bible outlines some to us fairly clearly. Romans 13:1 says, Romans 13:1 says, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and that those exist have been instituted by God. And so what we are doing is we're talking about government. Now, when he wrote these words, the government that he was writing about was a dictatorship. Think about that. He said, as he wrote that book, no authority is except from God. And sometimes that's a little hard to grasp. It was a dictatorship. We're fortunate that we don't live in a dictatorship. But even then, there was a right response on how to pray for government and how to respond to government. Now, if you don't like who's in control, it doesn't alleviate you from the responsibility of doing all that you can that we could live a peaceful life and share the Lord Jesus Christ in the dying world. But there are some who seemed opposed to any political involvement at all. When Jesus was talking, the Pharisees wanted to catch him in a trap. And the Jews were under the control of Rome at that time. And of course, there was not a lot of love between the two, Rome and the Jewish nation. And so they wanted to trap Jesus. So they said to Jesus, tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And so Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And then they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, our first priority is to pray for leaders. That's what the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Now, notice this next line, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may, here's why, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, pray that we have the ability to live a peaceful life and we're able to share the gospel with a dying world. And this is very, very important. Pray for the government that we might be about our business of what God wants us to do. Now, sometimes it's hard to pray for the government. We don't always like who's in office. And it's difficult sometimes to pray. But this is what God has told us to do. You remember Fiddler on the Roof? In there, the man asked a rabbi a question. Rabbi, may I ask you a question? Certainly, he says. Is there a proper blessing for the Tsar? A blessing for the Tsar? Of course. May God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. Isn't that sometimes how we feel about government? May God keep the government far, keep them out of our business, keep them away from us. But yet we ought to be praying more fully according to the scriptures so that we are able to function fully as a group of believers sharing the gospel in a fallen world. So if we are to obey and pray, just what should a Christian want from government? What should we be praying about? Well, Christians ought to have four basic desires as I read the scriptures here, or wants from the government. First, a Christian should want a government to promote good, Romans 13:4, for he is God's servant for your good. Now in the original text, and the King James, the word really means like minister. He is God's minister for your good. That's where we get words like the prime minister from. And that's where we understand that God has leaders, but the leaders are supposed to be a blessing to those in their government, in their land. And we need to pray about that. Now, there are many evil governments in the world, and we're aware of that. And yet, even in that case, I mean, Rome was the government when this was written, and Rome did some pretty horrific things. And yet, this is what was written by the Apostle Paul. So imagine this, though. Imagine a world with no government at all. That would be a great tragedy, because a people with no government, a world with no government, would be a mess. I want to read an article by Jerry Falwell that he wrote many years ago about our responsibility in this world concerning religion and government. Here's what he said. Mixing religion and politics can mean many things. It could mean that one advocates theocratic state. I certainly do not. Such a merger of religion and politics is as far removed from my position as its opposite, namely a political system like communism, which represses religious thought and expression. I firmly believe it is a religious duty to be a good citizen. It is one's duty as a good citizen to participate in politics. But I can be true neither to my country nor to my God if I separate my religious convictions from my political views. If I am to be whole, one with myself and with God, I must infuse my life with a political life as a political being with beliefs. I learn from the divine being, this is not radical fundamentalism, Christian theology. It is the basic belief which first drove the pilgrims to our shores and later inspired the founding fathers to proclaim our independence from Britain with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. It is the notion which infused the anti-slavery movement of the 19th century, and in which the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. took his message of racial harmony. And then he goes on to say, why should we not permit moral values to influence our thinking about important contemporary issues? To say that spiritual values or morality are at the heart of our society is not to establish a state religion. Far from it. It is only to say with the Constitution that we guarantee the fundamental right of free exercise for all religions throughout our society. And then he says this, my position, and I believe it is the position of the majority of Americans today, just as it has been for 200 years, is that it is not only legitimate to advocate basic religious values in the political arena, but it is absolutely essential for the health of our republic that believers participate in the political debate of our day. And a Christian should want a government that promotes good. And we should pray about that, that our government does that which is right and holy. Secondly, a Christian should want a government to punish evil. That's an important aspect, or prevent evil. Acts 20:31 says this, and we're talking about Paul here. Paul was in the city of Jerusalem. He had gone into the temple to worship, and some people saw him there, and they accused him of bringing a Gentile into the temple. And as a result, they began to grab hold of Paul, and they dragged him out of the temple, and they were beginning to beat him. It says in Acts 20:30, then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. And at once he took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Now let me ask you a question. How do you think Paul felt about government at that particular moment? I think he was rather glad they showed up. They stopped a horrific beating. They stopped something he didn't deserve. They stood up at the right time. And that's really one of the things we want our government to do. And it's important that we pray about that. A king who sits on the throne of judgment, it says, willows all evil with his eyes. The idea is he casts away and diffuses evil. That's what he's in the business of doing. Let me ask you a question. How many store owners last year and the year before would have been glad if somebody interfered when their store's windows were being broken and all the goods of their store that they had worked very hard to maintain were stolen? How many people who were ripped out of their cars with carjackings in this last year, and if you've seen some of them on TV, they've been horrific. How many people would have been glad for a government official, a policeman, or someone to step in and bring protection? How many people do you think would feel comfortable riding on the subway if they were not fearful of what could happen on that subway at any particular time? And it is the role of government to prevent evil, to stop evil from hurting people. So Romans 13:3, we should pray for rulers, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Then he goes on to say, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. I thought this year of how many people committed terrible, terrible acts, and because of district attorneys that have a philosophical point of view are let out of jail. No bail, no consequences, let out of jail. And many of them repeat offenders. And we should be praying that our government confines evil and keeps it from being part of our land. And God ordained that to be the role of government. Confine evil and cultivate good. Proverbs 28:16, a ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. Now, it doesn't say anything more than a ruler who lacks understanding, who doesn't understand what their role is and what God ordains that rulers should be. And that's what we need to be praying, that our rulers, our leaders, understand why they're in office and what God has called them to do and to be. It goes on to say, if one is burdened with the blood of another, he will be a fugitive unto death. Let no one help him. There are people in office that are doing improper things, and that's why we should be praying. We should be praying that they are aware that there is a day of judgment, there is a holy God who holds them accountable. And we ought to be praying for our leaders on a regular basis. Our founding fathers were well aware of human frailty, and they covered things with prayer, and so should we. We have drifted as a nation, and we need to pray. So we desire that our government promote God, good, and punish evil. 1 Peter 2:13 puts it this way: be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. That's one of the roles of government. And verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. In our standing up for that which is right, we ought to be right in our behavior. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You can share truth with people without being ignorant in the way that you share it. And God wants us to do the right thing, so that if people accuse us of anything, it's our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So a Christian should want government to promote good and government to punish evil. And then last, or not last, but next, government to protect rights. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high places. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Someone once asked a distinguished author and Unitarian minister, the late Edward Everett Hale, if he prayed for the senators. He replied, "No, I look at the senators and I pray for my country." Do you ever get that feeling? And that's what we should be doing. We should be praying for our country and then praying that our leaders are the kind of leaders that God wants in a nation. And we need to be unashamed about making those prayers. Proverbs 31:4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. And we need to be careful. We've seen many people afflicted in our country this year, and unfortunately by government. People who might go to a school board meeting and simply say that what is being taught here is improper, and we want to make an objection to it. And next thing we know that they're being checked out. And we need to be careful about that. And our government needs to be prayed for, and we need to know what to pray and how to pray about that. Someone said, a Christian said to me, "You don't really believe that Christians should get active in politics, do you?" And I said with tongue in cheek, "Why, of course not. We ought to leave it to the atheists. Otherwise, we wouldn't have anything to complain about, and we'd really rather complain than do something, wouldn't we?" And so we want to be careful about simply complaining and say, what is our personal responsibility about doing these things? Now, some complaints that you might hear is this, like someone said, some people have written off elections because they think it's all rigged. They look at some of the anomalies that have occurred in recent balloting, and they think, why should I even bother? My vote won't count. Well, if you don't cast a vote, your potential vote certainly didn't count. And so we need to be aware. We need to do what we can. Pastor James Kennedy, long gone with the Lord, wrote this: pastors need to encourage their people to be involved in both evangelism and in legislation. Why is that? Why should we do that? Well, Isaiah 1:23 says this: your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless and widows, and the widow's cause does not come to them. And there are many people in political office who are after bribes or after wealth, they're after enriching their own lives. And we are to be careful and aware and pray about these things. And we should use whatever leverage God has given us in a proper manner to deal with these things. Proverbs 29:14, if a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. Then it goes on to say in 29:4, but justice, by justice a king builds up the land, but he who exacts gifts tears it down. And so a Christian should want certain things from their government. They should want a government to promote good, a government to punish evil, a government to protect rights, and then they should want a government to practice righteousness. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Proverbs 29:12 says it this way, if a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. Listen, we not only want to pray for the president, but we want to pray for all the people that surround him, because they're the influencers. And it says if a ruler listens to falsehood, if he's getting the wrong influence, the wrong information, then his officials will be wicked. In Proverbs 25:5, take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Well, how do you take it away? Well, we have a privilege in our nation of voting, of looking at people that are running for office. Is it a perfect system? Do we always get it right? No. But we ought to participate. We ought to be praying, and we ought to be active where we can be active and doing that which we can. So a Christian should want government to promote good, government to punish evil, government to protect rights, and government to practice righteousness. Reverend Francis Grink wrote this, if the time, and he wrote this about 100 years ago, if the time comes when America shall go to pieces, it will be from losing sight of the fact that righteousness exalts a nation, but that sin is a reproach to any people. Unless we hold to these great fundamental principles of righteousness, America will only be a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. And so we need to listen to these people of bygone days who understood how serious-minded we should be in the government of our country and take responsibility where we can. Pray, and then we ought to be putting feet on our prayers. The people, Reverend James Garfield, who also happens to be at one time the President of the United States, but he also was a minister of the gospel, a pastor. Listen to what he said. The people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities. In the next centennial, if the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. We should vote. Now, here's what's interesting. The Hill, a newspaper from Washington, D.C., said one-third of eligible voters, approximately 77 million Americans, did not vote in the November presidential election, the last election that went by. 77 million. But here's what's really sad. Some Christian organizations are doing a study, and they're finding out that about 26 million of those are claimed to be evangelical Christians. Now think about the difference a vote could make with 26 million people voting. And then they found out that many are not even registered to vote, not even registered. And this is a responsibility. We live in a great land. God has called us to be faithful to Him, to pray for our leaders, but He hasn't called us to sit back and do nothing, and we have an option of doing that. I want you to look at a statistic that's very interesting. Back in 1984, the California Secretary of State compiled this list. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. In 1876, one vote changed France from monarchy to republic. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the presidency of the United States. In 1933, one vote gave Adolf Hitler leadership of the Nazi Party. In 1960, one vote change in each precinct in Illinois would have denied John F. Kennedy the presidency. Listen, we should take responsibility. We should pray earnestly. We should be aware of the issues in our nation as much as possible, and we should pray, but we should do more. This is an interesting thing about how careless we can be in voting. In 1883, in Allentown, New Jersey, a wooden Indian, the kind that you would have seen in front of a cigar store, was placed on the ballot for Justice of the Peace. The candidate was registered under the fictitious name of Abner Robbins. When the ballots were counted, Abner won over incumbent Sam Davis by 7 votes. A similar thing happened in 1938. The name Boston Curtis appeared on the ballot for Republican committeeman from Ritten, Washington. Actually, Boston Curtis was a mule. The town's mayor sponsored the animal to demonstrate that people know very little about the candidates. He proved his point. The mule won. How sad is that? That in our nation, we who have all the freedoms that we have, don't take advantage of them. And we lose freedoms one day at a time because we don't pray and we don't know what to pray, but we should. And then where we can participate, we often sit back and leave that to someone else. Our votes do make a difference, and we who are Christian should honor this sacred privilege and vote at every opportunity. I heard a story once of a group of Christians that got together to pray. Not to vote, but to pray. It was election night, and this group of Christians felt it was wrong for Christians to be involved in politics. They had a candidate that was their favorite candidate, 2 people running for the office, and they decided to meet together on that night and have a prayer meeting. And so they all gathered and they prayed and prayed for that election, that the man they wanted would get in. The next morning when they counted the vote, they found out that the man that got in was not the man they wanted, and he got in by 25 votes. If those 26 had voted, the man that they wanted would have gotten in. So we need to be careful. You've all heard the story at one time or another of a man who was in his house and floodwaters began to come. And they rose up into his porch area and were rising quickly, and a boat came by and said, "Come, get in, come in." He said, "The Lord will take care of me. I prayed to the Lord and the Lord will take care of me." And then the waters went up and they're now on the 2nd floor, and he's looking out the window and another boat comes by. "Get in, get in. The Lord has promised to take care of me. The Lord will take care of me." Then after a while, the waters keep coming up and he has to climb out and he's up on his roof. And a helicopter comes over. "Climb up the ladder, climb up the ladder." "The Lord, I'm trusting the Lord. The Lord will take care of me." And he drowns and goes to heaven. Then he says to the Lord, "Lord, I thought for sure you were going to rescue me." And the Lord said, "I sent 2 boats and a helicopter. 2 boats and a helicopter. What more could I do for you?" It's not that the Lord is not willing. It's that we have personal responsibility too. And in this season of turmoil in our country and confusion, would we not be wise as believers to exercise the privilege that God has given us and talk to people who come from countries where they can't vote, where they have no say in the government? And if that doesn't touch your heart and break your heart, but we have privileges that God has given us. This nation was founded not as a perfect nation, but it was founded as a nation that wanted to honor God, and it gave people the right to choose leaders and vote. Do not let those days go by. Do not give the vote away to those who see things contrary to the Word of God, but rather use the privileges that you have. Pray, live as a godly citizen, and when you get the opportunity, cast a vote. Find out who's running. And then sometimes you choose the best of two, but the best of two is better than the worst of two. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be able to be counted as believers in every way. And we are willing to be involved because we know that when we have a righteous government that pursues peace, that pursues holiness, that protects from evil, the people are blessed. And so, Lord, let us pray for our leaders. Let us live as godly citizens, and let us use every privilege at our disposal to glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.